Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Plenty to get through today. We've got Champions League football to look back on, a whole host of Premier League fixtures to preview. Mark, good to chat once more. Where are you coming from, your sort of holiday home today?
Holiday inn rather than a holiday home. I'm in a hotel. Always on the move in this job, in loads of glamorous and not so glamorous surroundings. So if there are any kind of intruders and sort of knocks on the door, then usually it's the postman, isn't it? Some kind of delivery person. This time it's likely to be a cleaner, but hopefully we can get through it before I'm sort of kicked out and have to make my way back to London. Always on the move, Jack.
I hear that you got a taste of Championship football as well. What was your feelings after that one?
I think Stoke against Leeds was a pretty average game. I think really disappointed with Leeds United, I have to say. Apart from the Bamford miss penalty, it didn't really create much in the game. So, you know, I'm on Ipswich for promotion out of the Championship, and it was a boost certainly on Wednesday.
Well, even more disappointing almost to hear that you weren't impressed with Leeds, having just come off the back of being defeated by Leeds from 2-0 up. So thanks for putting me in a foul.
Their bench is strong, isn't it? But they did not play well.
No, absolutely. Let's discuss some of the Champions League action that's happened this week, Mark. I guess we should start with Newcastle's group. And you know, in terms of a group being wide open, that's exactly it. They lost to Dortmund after their brilliant win against Paris Saint-Germain. PSG beat Milan. It's thrown the whole group wide open.
Yeah, it has. And of course, the injury to Isak as well, it's not going to kind of improve Eddie Howe's mood. I think it was always likely to be a group where teams would take points off each other. There are some sort of groups where you just, like Leipzig and Man City's one, where you just go, well, yeah, they're going to beat the other teams. That was always unlikely to happen in this group. I did expect Newcastle to make the most of home advantage against Borussia Dortmund. You know, they obviously played so well a couple of weeks ago against Paris Saint-Germain, and it's like all of that hard work's been undone, because if they would have lost to PSG and beaten Borussia Dortmund, they've kind of been in the same position in terms of their points tally. And they probably wouldn't be as gutted, if that makes sense. But having done the hard work or the perceived harder work against PSG, then come up sort of short in that game, and another match in the Champions League, I say, and another game as if like they've had 20, but a second and third game where they haven't scored a goal. So they kind of got all of those goals against PSG, has thrown the group, wide open. The problem for Newcastle is that two of their three games now are away from home. So, they'll be hoping they can beat AC Milan at St. James's Park. I think it'll be difficult in that return match against PSG. Could come down to this sort of return fixture against Borussia Dortmund. And not all hope is gone. I still think Newcastle are capable of getting a result in that game, but it's obviously more complicated than it was at the start of the week.
If I had to put you on the spot, Mark, would you say that Newcastle will come through the group?
You know what? I still think they can. Because I'm not quite sure really about Dortmund's ability to go and sort of knock off another 6 points in this group. It was obviously pleasing for me because I tipped PSG, didn't I, at the start of the season to win the Champions League. And it was a good night for them because they've kind of got themselves back on top spot and, be hoping to finish the job. But yeah, I would still kind of edge towards Newcastle being able to get something in Dortmund, beat Milan at home. That PSG game, I think, will be difficult, but maybe that's enough.
On the Tuesday, important wins for Manchester United and Arsenal. Which would you like to start with there?
Probably the United game, because that's the one I watched. They were dreadful. I know they won 1-0 and it was a huge win. Harry Maguire, kind of nice moment for him, and obviously, scoring the goal. Onana saving that last gasp penalty. Mm. Two of the real fool guys, I suppose, for Manchester United coming up big for them. But I mean, if you just looked at the game and said, well, like, which team's playing the football, there's only one of them doing that. And it was, you know, Copenhagen progressed the ball up the pitch better than Manchester United, and they've got injuries, and you have, you know, Martinez and Luke Shaw, a big sort of part of that left-hand side, both unavailable at the moment. But, oh, there's so many sort of issues at the team. And we speak about it all the time. I don't know what the solution is, but, you know, they're not playing well. They've won their last three games, but they're not playing well.
And in terms of Arsenal, I saw the final kind of 10 minutes of that in the bar after watching Norwich City defeat to Leeds United, and they kind of held on towards the end, but got the job done.
Yeah, it wasn't Leeds United, it was Middlesbrough. You get beat so many times, Jack, with Norwich. You forget which one. Huge win for Arsenal, because they'd obviously had that surprise result in Lens previously. Gabriel Jesus came up big in this game, didn't he? Scored a great goal, but I thought the skill and through ball to Martinelli was fabulous. And I think just for my own sake, and so we don't have to discuss it too much, I'm glad that David Raya kind of flap punch went over the bar rather than into his own goal late on, because, you know, it would have only continued should Raya still be in goal, should it be Ramsdale. The interesting point for me is that it doesn't actually matter whether that went in or not. You know, it was a bad mistake. And you really shouldn't be judging it on the actual outcome, but, you know, kind of, you know, the action in the first place. So be interesting to see whether Ramsdale does come back in at some stage. I tend to think that having made the call to go for Raya, kind of has to stick with him for a while now, because you'll just end up making both goalkeepers jittery if you know, every time they make a mistake, or, you know, a couple of mistakes, they're out of the team.
I recall the Arsenal-Manchester City game a few weeks ago, Mark, and Gary Neville was kind of, every time Raya touched the ball, there was something about how
nervous.
I just thought it was a bit over the top in that. I know that, you know, there are discussions to be had around who's the better keeper, but I thought that in that game, and kind of in particular, I was like, I mean, you're not helping him to start with, Gary.
No, I totally agree. And even that Chelsea goal last week, I don't maybe know enough about goalkeeping to have a very strong opinion on it, but I don't think he'd be the only goalkeeper that got caught out in that situation. I mean, the kind of gambling and sort of, you know, being dominant in your box, if he comes out, if that cross goes into the middle where it's supposed to go, he comes out and claims it. Everyone says, oh, you know, well done. So I was probably more concerned with the one that didn't go in against Sevilla than the one that did against Chelsea, if that makes sense.
Yeah, funny old game. Right, should we get on to the Manchester derby, Mark?
Yeah, you know, City beat Young Boys in there on Wednesday, but men against boys.
Exactly. Yeah, Manchester United against Manchester City. This one at 3:30 on Sunday. United are 7-2, 8-11 Manchester City, 3-1 the draw. Yeah, worth noting a slightly unique kickoff time here for the Sunday with 3:30. So if you are placing your bets, make sure they're done before that time. Mark, I was kind of going through the previous game, and I remember that United had won this one last year, but I'd forgotten the fashion in which it happened. And I was just watching back the highlights this morning with that Fernandes goal, and it just brought back trauma. I mean, I have no kind of horse in the race, but I mean, it was a remarkable kind of 90 minutes last season.
Yeah, example sort of 201 of kind of not knowing football laws or the offside rules. It used to be sort of, didn't it? It used to be labelled. Do you remember when it was sort of, oh, you know, women don't know anything about football, you know, get them to explain the offside rule. Sort of, I don't know, it feels like kind of quite a 90s kind of vibe that sort of, you know, used to just sort of cliche. I mean, I don't think anybody kind of understands, you know, some of the rules. Now, that one certainly confused me. And I think it does show, though, that Manchester United, maybe this game suits them a touch more than some of the others that they've had, in that they won't be expected to make the run. And I spoke earlier about the fact that they're struggling to progress the ball up the pitch. They don't really need to do that as much in this game, because we know that City are going to have I don't know, probably in excess of, what, 60% possession in the game. And United will look to hit on the counter-attack. And they've got speedy players, but and that sort of Rashford incident that you were talking about with Bruno Fernandes, a good example of them being able to break that kind of City high line by not really doing too much. And so, you know, there is that in United's favour. Against that is that you just look at the two teams and you see City being sort of superior in most departments.
I guess, you know, we're always trying to find something new to discuss with Manchester City. And I guess even on in last season on the podcast, it felt like the first half of the season we were discussing all Manchester City might have frailties. Maybe they're not the team they used to be. Then the second half, they just ran away with it, as you kind of call. But it does feel as if this season, at this moment in time, there is potential for them to be got at slightly.
Well, I mean, if you know, in terms of clean sheets, they've only had one away from home all season. That was on the opening night against Burnley. And so even against Young Boys, they conceded. You know, they obviously lost at Wolves, they lost at Arsenal, they lost at Newcastle. So away from home, they've had their troubles. Now, in all three of those away games that they lost, Rodri was suspended, of course, and they've won every Premier League game and Champions League game when Rodri started this season. Even against Brighton, I thought it was a cliche game of two halves last week. I was watching the match and, you know, Doku was unplayable in the first 30 minutes. They got 2-0 up. You felt like it might be another like five or six, like what Brighton got sort of smashed when they went to Aston Villa. Second half was nervy. Brighton got the goal, had a couple of chances either side of it as well. So clearly not at 100% at the moment, Manchester City. And I don't think they will be until like Stones is back playing every week. You know, De Bruyne's back into the team. But what they have got is those options in the forward areas, you know, Alvarez and Haaland. I mean, Haaland's got 9 Premier League goals this season. That's only 2 fewer than Manchester United have got, and most people don't think he's had a as strong a season as what he did last year. Doku, different dimension to the City attack because he can dribble and go at players. You know, Grealish maybe been a touch quiet, you know, from what we've seen previously. And then you get Rico Lewis being a star man in the Champions League game for them. So a lot of different options, and you know the type of quality that doesn't appear to be in the home ranks at the moment.
I sense in this build-up to your bet, Mark, I'm feeling that you believe that City will be too strong. How are you edging your money here?
Yeah, couldn't put anyone off just sort of backing Manchester City to win the game. But if you are sort of looking to bump up the price, maybe City to win and both teams to score. In terms of sort of United, they have scored in 5 of their last 6 matches against City. So they are capable of at least causing the noisy neighbours a few issues.
OK, let's get through the rest of the Premier League fixtures, beginning with the league leaders. Yeah, let's start with Crystal Palace against Spurs. As Mark kind of was jotting his notes on this run order, I did see that the link into this was Premier League leaders, Mark. Just going from strength to strength, watched Monday Night Football, was just really impressed with just the seeming control in which you had on the game. I mean, even before you scored, it looked like it was a matter of if rather than when. I listened to Ange after the game. I'm not on first name terms with Ange, but everyone calls him Ange. And he was kind of almost disappointed with that second half performance, which shows the levels he thinks he can get out of this side. Maddison, just instrumental and a joy to watch. I mean, we got to see him doing that at Championship level, but he's now doing it at the very top of the Premier League, and all seems to be going well, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, Maddison actually said that he feels like he's played better for other teams at times and hasn't been picked up, and now he's gone to Tottenham. Sort of everyone wants to talk about how sort of good he's been. I mean, in terms of sort of plenty of stats, he's kind of stat leader or right up there in all of the kind of key metrics, really, in terms of creating chances and just making Tottenham tick. Obviously, the opportunity to go 5 points clear, and it still feels like another game where, you know, they're not playing one of the real big hitters in the league, and the fixtures will start to get tougher as kind of, you know, no, particularly like November and into December, that they've got some hard matches coming up. I still think that the Champions League is the main aim, and, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion even where they are now that they will get Champions League because of how strong the Premier League is. But if you look at like points per game, they've only got to be at kind of a Europa League level now to get Champions League. So they've made a you know, a significantly sort of jump on some of their rivals. And I think that they can win this game as well. I'm going to go for Tottenham to win an under 3.5 goals. Palace, no Eze. Elise is sort of close to a return, but even if he does come back, he's not going to be able to sort of, you know, hit the ground running. You wouldn't have thought. So they've only scored one goal in the last four Premier League games, Palace. So obvious problems for them in the final third. And yeah, might be another good opportunity for Tottenham to get the win. I would just say on the people that go on about the soft schedule is you've still got to beat those teams. You know, Man City lost at Wolves. Arsenal couldn't beat Fulham at home. Like, it doesn't mean that you will beat those teams just because they're kind of easier on paper.
Absolutely. Just to read the match prices, I didn't do so at the start. Palace were 10-3, 11-4 the draw, 4-5 Spurs. I mean, just looking at that Spurs price, Mark, I guess it's difficult to put people off just putting them to win in the Akers, is it?
Well, I would just, I suppose, a word of caution, that second half was the worst 45 minutes of the season. And this is the first time they've had the quick turnaround of Premier League games and their squad is thin. And so Monday to Friday, you know, is shorter than ideal. So that would concern me, I think. But they should be able to grind it out. But a word of caution there.
OK, let's take a look at the early game on Saturday. It's Chelsea against Brentford, the home side, 8-13, 16-5. You want to back the draw, 4-1. Brentford, how do you see this one going, Mark?
I'm going to go for a Chelsea win. They've won every game on XG this season. They've won considerably fewer on the pitch. But played very well last week against Arsenal. Did a lot of things right. And if they carry on playing at that level of performance, it won't be long before they're quickly rising up the table. Thought Palmer and Sterling and Gallagher and Fernandes played well. You know, Reece James is coming back now. There's a question mark over the goalkeeper, Sanchez. But, I mean, overall, this is a Chelsea team that's kind of getting closer to where they want to be in terms of performances. Results should follow. Got Brentford completely wrong last week when I didn't fancy them at Burnley. Having sort of spoken to people that were at the game, I think it might have just been Burnley were really bad. So I'm going to stick to my belief that Brentford are not as good as they were last season with the players they've got missing at the moment, and I'm going to go for a Chelsea win.
Okay, let's take a look at Arsenal against Sheffield United. Arsenal 1-9 on, 8-1 for the draw, 22-1 if you want to back Sheffield United. Shocked seeing these prices. Mark, I know there's, you know, massive differences between the two, but I mean, the bookies really don't like the look of Sheffield United at the moment.
No. And, you know, I'm told via the bookmakers that last week was absolute, you know, carnage for them with the amount of favourites that won, particularly on the Saturday. Just about everything in the Premier League that was kind of odds on one, all the kind of, you know, big hitters in the Championship. League One, you had like Portsmouth scoring a late goal. League Two, you stopped Ports, you know, and sort of various other big teams there were able to get 3 points. And, you know, I was told it was like a shocking result for them. Great news for the majority of ACA backers. I think as long as you avoided Real Madrid, that you should have been okay in terms of collecting, really. All the favourites won in Italy. So, yeah, it was a super Saturday for punters. And, you know, I don't see bookmakers getting out of trouble with this game. I mean, it's a really hard one, isn't it, when you've got a 1-9 shot? You know, what are you going to do? I was actually just 2-0 correct score. You know, Sheffield United have conceded twice in 6 of their 9 Premier League games. And I think I've referenced it before, but the 8-0 against Newcastle, very much out of keeping with the majority of their matches where they have been, you know, in the game, and they did concede two against United, City and Spurs. So, you know, maybe Arsenal will just declare at two and, you know, sort of get their minds focused on the matches ahead.
OK, let's take a look at Bournemouth-Burnley, two teams that desperately need a win. I must say, Mark, I enjoyed the segment on Monday Night Football where Gary O'Neill was breaking down how he beat his former team. It's all very passive aggressive and just great fun. I was really impressed with Gary O'Neill, actually.
I think obviously, you know, bad news, you know, for Bournemouth and their coach Iraola really kind of, you know,
we kind of liked the look at Bournemouth at the start of the season, didn't we?
I said, you know, I can hold my hands up and say, you know, I was saying Bournemouth on the handicap. Well, the reason I was saying Bournemouth on the handicap was that, you know, if it doesn't work out, I wouldn't be surprised if they got relegated. And but there is also possibility that he comes in and it works for him. So it hasn't at the moment. They've had a difficult scheduled start to the season. Then confidence goes. And you could also say that about Burnley. And then it becomes really tough. I mean, you know, these two teams desperately need points at the moment. I don't think you can rely on either. I was just the probably the most reliable person on the pitch is Dominic Solanke. First goal scorer is the way I'm playing this one in terms of the each way. He scored in five games this season. Burnley are conceding far too many goals. And yeah, Solanke's about the most reliable thing on the pitch, I think.
Was chatting to a Burnley fan earlier this week, Mark, and kind of saying, you know, what's going wrong? And he basically said the same as what you've been saying. The team this season is arguably worse than the championship winning team. And when that happens, it's going to be difficult.
It is, yeah. That's the lone players that haven't returned. I mean, same with Sheffield United, really. I think you could argue that they were sort of at least as strong in the championship.
Wolves against Newcastle, 16-5 Wolves, 3-1 the draw, 3-4 Newcastle. Any concerns from a midweek hangover for Newcastle?
Yeah, not in terms of the result, just in terms of the quick turnaround, because Wednesday to Saturday is not the one you want from that point of view. And that's why I'm going to go for Wolves or draw, double chance. They've scored in all bar one game as well this season, Wolves. So they are, you know, a capable side. And if we look at Newcastle, they've done well in terms of, you know, they got put eight past Sheffield United after a Champions League game on the first time up. But that was Tuesday, Sunday. And then even against West Ham, when they didn't win that game, by the way, it was Wednesday to Sunday. So they haven't had to deal with this Wednesday, Saturday yet. And I do think it's hard. You know, Murphy and Isak picked up injuries in that defeat to Borussia Dortmund. And yeah, I think Wolves are going along reasonably nicely. Yeah. You know, I didn't expect them, you know, to do anything sort of remarkable this season. I think it looked like it was going to be a relegation battle. They're better than that, quite clearly. They beat City at home. Yeah, I think this might be a tricky game for Newcastle. Certainly wouldn't want to be punting them at the prices you were just quoting.
No. OK, let's move on to the Sunday games. Of course, we've already previewed the Manchester derby. We'll start with West Ham against Everton. This is a 1 o'clock kickoff, 11-10 the home side, 5-2 the draw, 12-5 about Everton. How are you playing this?
Yeah, an earlier start for some reason. And I read a story on sort of why is the Manchester derby starting at 3:30. It was one of those SEO kind of plays where it was, you know, aimed at Google, the search engine optimization. And there was 500 words on the fact that nobody knew why the game was kicking off at 3:30. So there you go. And that obviously has consequences for the West Ham Everton game. I'm going to go for both teams to score an over 2.5 goals. West Ham scored in every game. We're obviously speaking before the Thursday night Europa League game. They've scored in every game as we speak. And Everton's XG, nearly 15. I know Sean Dyche mentioned it the other week. Interestingly, didn't mention it when he was Burnley manager, and their XG used to be terrible all the time. And they kind of just managed to kind of, you know, I don't know, just do some sort of magic work in terms of being able to outperform XG. Now he's interested in XG. Now it suits him. Everton, yeah, have created chances in a lot of matches so far this season. Obviously, the game against Liverpool was done fairly early on once Ashley Young gets his two yellow cards. Deservedly got those two yellow cards as well. I couldn't believe when I was listening to the TV that, you know, trying to argue that he didn't deserve to be sent off.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. So yeah, West Ham have been more entertaining than I imagined that this season. And that will slow down at some stage, but I thought the price was right for both teams scoring over 2.5 goals.
Okay, let's take a look at Aston Villa against Luton then. 2-7 about Villa, 5-1 the draw, 17-2 Luton. Mark, constantly watching Villa and being impressed. I think that's the feeling I'm getting this season.
Yeah, and I think they'll, you know, some of their supporters maybe will think, oh, it's good that we're kind of flying under the radar. There'll be others saying, well, you know, look at all the love that, you know, Postecoglou gets and you know, maybe Deserbi. And, you know, Villa are right up there and have been under Unai Emery, you know, since he arrived, really, at the club. I didn't feel like that game last week was a true reflection, the 4-1. You know, it was in the balance at times in that game, but a lot of goals in that Villa team. I mean, I kind of wrote it down that they'd scored 17 in 4 home games, and then I had to sort of check it, because I'm like, surely they've not scored 17 in 4 home Premier League games, but they have. Great opportunity to, you know, boost that tally further. And I was just given their firepower. Villa to score in both halves was the way I was playing this one in what should be a one-sided game.
Okay. Brighton against Fulham. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on Fulham, Mark, after Monday's game in particular. Maybe it was Spurs being really good in that first half, but I was disappointed with what I saw from Fulham.
Yeah, I was at the game and, you know, there was the odd bright spark from Willian. But you just go, well, where's the goals? Like, you know, Carlos Vinicius, you know, God loves a trier, but the talent is maybe not so strong. And then Raul Jimenez has had his problems since that horrific head injury, and I think is kind of, you know, the standards we've seen for him in the last couple of years suggest he's not going to get back to kind of that pre-injury level. So you do just look at Fulham and think, where are the goals going to come from? And that then puts pressure on the defence. I mean, Bassey, left-footed, playing on the right-sided of that defence, had a shocker, didn't he? But even sort of, you know, that Paulinho was being linked with Bayern Munich. I didn't feel like he stemmed the flow, you know, like he wasn't stopping Maddison, was he? And that was kind of his job. Leno made some good saves. I think if Tottenham would have been more ruthless, it would have been sort of good night in that first half, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I think that Fulham probably looking around thinking it's a good job that, you know, without being too disrespectful, it's a good job Luton, Sheffield United and Burnley and Bournemouth are in the league this year. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Everton, potential points deduction for them, wasn't there reported this week. So, they might stay up by not being very good, Fulham. And that's not really how you want it to be. And in this game, I'm going to go for Brighton -1 on the Asian handicap. So you get your money back if Brighton win by one. All three of Brighton's home wins this season have been by more than one goal. And I think that does play into the fact that when they're good, they're very good, Brighton. And, you know, if they're off it, then, you know, they can get spanked, as what happened at Aston Villa and at home to Everton last season. But when they're in the groove, they're a difficult team to stop.
Absolutely. Final game we'll preview in the Premier League this week. Liverpool against Nottingham Forest, 2 o'clock on Sunday. 2-7 Liverpool, 19-4 the draw, 9-1 Forest. Worth noting, Liverpool have Europa League action on Thursday evening. How do you see this game in the Premier League panning out?
Yeah, Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals. All home games bar the Everton one. I've seen at least three in the Premier League, and I think the reason the Everton one did or sort of went under, or at least one of the reasons, was, of course, that once Everton went down to 10, they switched to a 5-3-1 formation and were never going to sort of trouble Liverpool going forward. I think that Liverpool are a team that are built to beat the bad sides, and Nottingham Forest are, you know, I didn't even mention them, did they, in terms of the sort of relegation candidates when I was just running off a list. But yeah, they're not going to finish in the top half, are they, Forest? So bottom half team, Liverpool at home at Anfield, got a great record at Anfield as well. Just should be routine, I think.
Okay, time to dip into the EFL with Aaron Ashley.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/free bets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/free bets.
Yeah, well, a warm welcome to Aaron Ashley, to Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Let's take a look at all things EFL. So much going on at the moment, Aaron, in the EFL. Games galore. We'll start with your team in focus. Always intrigued to hear, because with Dan Charles this season, the teams he's kind of shortlisted for this section have usually gone on to do what he said. So it's been good for people's notebooks. Who are we picking to discuss this week?
So we're going with the League Two leaders this week, Jack, in Stockport. Obviously, last season, they found it really tough adjusting to the league and made a really slow start. They won only three of their opening 13 games. But then they were on a lot of people's radars with the way they finished the season. They finished fourth, got in the playoffs. It wasn't to be in the playoffs. They had a lot of injuries. They added up. And I think that long run they went on, they exerted a lot of energy going on that run, that they just fell short in the playoffs. This season, they made another slow start. They took only 5 points from their opening six games. But after 15 matches, they now find themselves top because they're on a remarkable nine-game winning run. And I'm guessing they've got Tranmere at home this weekend, who have lost all seven away games. So they should really be, it's a gilt-edge opportunity to be making it 10 wins in a row, which is quite a feat in League Two, where a lot of teams fancy beating each other, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think pleasing you've said this, Aaron. Stockport fancied Anti-Post, I know, a lot in a lot of people's accounts. So do you see this good form continuing?
I do, because they've played three of the current top six away from home already this season. They've inflicted a 5-0 hiding on Wrexham at home. The goals are coming freely now. They've scored three times in five of the last eight. And if you go to their midweek win on Tuesday, they won 2-0 away at Crewe, who are actually the league leaders. And they didn't have a shot on target. So it shows they're defending well, they're well organised, and they're scoring freely. One problem I would say is that Louis Barry, who's on loan from Aston Villa, he's had a sensational start to the season. Unfortunately for him, he's picked up a hamstring injury in midweek and had to go off. So that is a big blow to them. He's scored 9 goals in 16 league games. The positive is Kyle Wootton, who was their top goal scorer last season, he's ready, he's back to full fitness. So he's a ready-made replacement, ready to come off the bench and ready to start. So I don't think it'll have too much of an impact because he should be ready to go.
Okay, great news for Stockport County fans and those that have backed them to go well in League Two this season. Aaron, we'll get your three selections for this weekend's matches. We'll start with your League One pick.
I've actually got two tips in League One, but the first one is Portsmouth away at Reading. Portsmouth, they were unable to capitalise fully on Oxford's midweek defeat at Wigan because they were held to a goalless draw at Cambridge. But they had won six in a row prior to that, and they meet a Reading side here in absolute freefall. They're staring down the barrel at back-to-back relegations. They lost 2-1 at home to Fleetwood in midweek, which means they've now lost seven of the last nine league games, and they already find themselves 8 points adrift of safety. They've got a really young and experienced squad, and the leaders are just not stepping up for them. So I expect Portsmouth, their odds against away at Reading, which seems a big prize to me, I expect them to pile more misery on Reading.
Any reason that big a prize? Is anything to be concerned?
I think that there's a sense that because Portsmouth are winning a lot of goals games by one goal, and they're not completely dominating games, that there's a feeling that it might drop off a little bit. But Reading are in no confidence there at all, and they're struggling for goals. They're conceding cheaply, and they're just losing a lot of games. So yeah, odds against seems big about the league leaders winning that.
Yeah, I love the sound of that. Who's up next in League One?
So Lincoln draw no bet away at Exeter is odds against 6-5. Another team taking a dive in League One's Exeter. They've actually lost seven of the last eight league games, and the only exception in that run was a 1-0 win at home to rock bottom Cheltenham. The Grecians have failed to score in five of their last six defeats, and they've lost to nil at home to Northampton, Barnsley and Wigan in three consecutive games. So I think they're easy enough to oppose at home to Lincoln, who they brought Charlton's unbeaten start under Michael Atherton to an end in midweek with a 3-1 win at home. They had 23 shots in that victory. They're racking up a lot of chances, Lincoln. They're only 2 points off the playoff spots, and they're chasing a third straight win. And 6-5, draw no bet away at an Exeter side who are really, really struggling. Yeah, I think that's a good price.
Another solid pick there. We'll dip into League Two for your third and final selection.
And then this is MK Dons at home to Swindon. Mike Williamson, obviously, he was the Gateshead manager, was regularly praised for the football they were playing. He's been drafted into MK Dons, and he made a winning start on Tuesday in a 4-1 rout of Bradford at home. They had 18 shots in that game, 11 on target. And in the meantime, they restricted the Bantams to only two efforts on goal. So I think they look a nice price at about 6-4 at home to Swindon, who, despite sitting ninth, they've gone six games without an away league win. They were beaten 1-0 at home to Gillingham in midweek. which means they've only won one of the last five. And MK Dons, they'll be in confident mood after racking up the goals in midweek. So at 6-4, I think they're a nice price too.
Three nice prices there. Aaron, just run us through so people can jot them down, all three selections.
So Portsmouth away at Reading, they're about 21-20 is available there. Lincoln draw, no bet. They're also away. They're away at Exeter. And MK Dons at home to Stevenage in League Two.
Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Nice one.
Right, time to get into some of Mark's best bets for this week. It was a successful one last week, so hoping to repeat some of that. Mark, we shall start with a bet builder.
Yep, going to go for Chelsea to beat Brentford. The XG for Chelsea is very good at the moment. I expect results to follow. Conor Gallagher to score. I don't know if you watched that game against Arsenal, but he's playing very high up the pitch. They were using kind of Conor Gallagher alongside Cole Palmer as a front two for most of that game. And I just sort of I made a note in my phone that he was sort of playing in a more advanced position. So, and I thought he played well as well, Gallagher. So Chelsea to win, Gallagher to score, and Janelt to be carded. He's been cautioned in each of his last two games, Brentford defender.
Let's get a multiple for this week, Mark. It was a winner last week. It was a fourfold. It's usually a treble, but I know you wanted to boost the price up. So well done on that. We'll try and find another winner this week for everyone at home. What are we going for?
Yeah, Chelsea for the reasons that are already explained. Manchester City to beat Manchester United. I just think that United are just a poor side at the moment, really. And, you know, defensively, like Maguire and Varane doesn't inspire me as a kind of partnership. I think Reguilón at left back isn't amazing either. And, you know, there are problems sort of defensively, and they haven't scored many goals this season. So Chelsea, Manchester City, and we'll wrap up the treble with Mansfield to beat Walsall. I think there's a clear top four in League Two this season. You've got Wrexham, you've got Notts County, you've got the mighty Stockport as well, who did us a favour last week. Mansfield are very much in that conversation. Walloped Harrogate in midweek, and a kind of the shot stat kings as well in League Two. And you know that they played on TV the other week, didn't they, when they beat Notts County. Looks a good side. So yeah, Chelsea, Man City, and Mansfield.
Great stuff. And we'll finish things off with your best bet for this week. What's the nap?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Chelsea don't beat Brentford, then a lot of these bets are going to be going down as losers. But on a tricky coupon, wasn't much that stood out. But I did think that, Chelsea, I thought actually I had them down as a shorter price to beat Brentford. I just feel like, without wishing to repeat myself too much, that if they carry on playing the way they will, like some of those chances just go in. It's just the way that football works. And so if they keep on doing the right things, the results will follow.
Good stuff, Mark. Thanks. As always, you're in Stoke at the moment. You've got any other beautiful British resorts to visit the rest of this week?
No, not unless you count the Essex Riviera, what I call home. So, I'll be heading off home very shortly.
Excellent stuff, Mark. Pleasure as always. If you follow Mark in with any of his tips, please remember to always gamble responsibly. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. We'll be back next week for another edition of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.